Today we're going to talk about the sluggard school. You ever heard of a sluggard or a slug? You ever heard of a slug? Some of us cheer for our schools, you know, our alma maters, like, you know, Fort Hays State, having a rough year this year, but that's okay. We still cheer for them. What are some schools you cheer for? K-State, KU, Texas Tech, right? Red Raiders. What other schools do you cheer for? Boomer Sooner, yeah. Huskers, yeah. Those fans are nuts, those Nebraska fans. They're crazy. Some fans are pretty crazy. I'm going to take you to a place called the University of Sluggard. You're like, what? University of Sluggard? You know what a slug is, right? It's like this little creepy little animal that leaves a trail of slime behind it and could put salt on it or something. I think it doesn't do good things to them. I don't think they survive with it very well. But some of us all have parts of our lives where we go to the University of Sluggard. We're just slacking off in certain areas of our life. Could be pockets of laziness within our lives, pockets of relaxation, as we call it sometimes, in our lives. Someone, and maybe in our marriage, we've, you know, slacked off a little bit in those areas. Maybe in dating, or we've just become apathetic to the things of the world, and we just don't care. We don't make a stand. We don't do anything about it. We just kind of let things happen the way it happens. When it comes to work, the four-letter word, work, sometimes we take it as a blessing or sometimes it's a curse, right? God created work. He created work to be a good thing. To be a good worker is a good thing. And, you know, God himself worked. He created the world, you know, in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. And he was a great worker himself. He created work in the when he put Adam and Eve on, you know, work in the garden, right? Garden of Eden. He created it. It's a good thing to be a good worker. Some people see it as an opposition, and some people see it as an opportunity. You know, work is sometimes hard to get up for. Sometimes it's hard to go to, right? But are you going to the University of Sluggard, or are you going to another university? You know, to be a great worker, you have to have wisdom, right? You have to have some wisdom, and you accumulate wisdom over a lifetime. And God can give you wisdom. He can bless you with wisdom. Now you gain knowledge as well. Knowledge is just, you know, but with wisdom you have insight into things. You can see what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. God will give you that. Wisdom is something we receive. We need to work and understand what wisdom is. You know, the Bible tells us that God tells us we have two choices, two paths to take. We can either go to University of Sluggard, or we can go to University of the Ant. You ever heard, you know, the ant in the Bible? He talks about in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. 31 chapters written by Solomon, who was a king. He had kids. God's a king. We're his kids. We're the king's kids. He wrote this book to give us knowledge, or to give us wisdom for everyday life. It's pretty easy to read, one chapter a day, 31 chapters. You know, every month you could read the book of Proverbs. And matter of fact, I was listening to Joe McGee one time, and he was saying that on the way to school every day, you know, he had six kids. And so on the way, he would take them to school, and they'd have the Bible, and they'd read that day's proverb on the way to school. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. And then he said, sometimes it wasn't all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. He said sometimes it's like, read the Bible. It's your turn to read. But the book of Proverbs talks a lot about work, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about work today. You know, when I choose a topic, I'm choosing a topic for me. Because, you know, I struggle with stuff just like everybody else. I choose a topic for myself, and I'm thinking if I'm struggling with it, somebody else has got to have some issues with it, and hopefully we can get there together. Work is from God. God gave us work before sin entered the planet. You know, that's pretty cool. It's a gift of God to be able to work, to do those things. God has gave us a platform so we could pursue our purposes. So the scripture says, whatever you do, do it like God is your CEO. No matter who your boss is or who your supervisor is or whatever, God's your ultimate supervisor. He's your CEO. He's checking up on you, seeing how you're carrying out your job. In other words, you know, do a mental Photoshop and think of your boss as God overseeing your work. Do it as if you're doing it for God. And sometimes we lose sight of that. It's like, my boss is a jerk. You know, he or she just isn't get it. They just don't get it. But you still have an obligation to work, to do a good job, to do a good thing, even when nobody's looking. You know, we're the king's kids, and we want to act like it. We want to be a little different than those in the regular world out there. If you're enrolled in the University of Ant, there are three things that you look for. Are you someone that understands the power of diligence? Now, diligence means you're doing stuff no matter what, no matter if anybody's looking or not. You're being diligent. You know, I married to a teacher. My oldest daughter's a teacher. My youngest daughter's gonna be a teacher if we can ever get her off the payroll. She's almost done. If Madison, don't laugh. You're still on the payroll a little bit. I mean, it still happens. But teachers have to be diligent. You know, they have to be self-starters. They have to organize things. They have to do things when nobody's looking. They have to grade papers when nobody's around. They have to put in grades. They have to prepare lesson plans. Living with a teacher for almost 30 years, I'm thinking, gosh, there's a lot of stuff they do that nobody sees, that nobody gives credit to. I know how many hours they put in. I know how many nights they stay up grading. I know how many nights they do that. It's a lot of work to be a teacher, and they don't get enough credit. But they're some of the most diligent people I know, are teachers, really. They do things because it's the right thing to do. It's the right way to do things. And so you have to be diligent if you're going to go to the University of Ant. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. So it's diligence, but it's also discernment. So he's saying be wise like the ant. You know, the ant doesn't need supervision. He gathers stuff in the because he knows it's got to be done. Doesn't need supervision. They have discernment. They have knowledge that something's going to happen, and they got to do their job. They're doing their part no matter what. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant doesn't have some coach or some manager over them all the time telling them what to do and how to do it and when to do it. They just do it. Some of the best employees I've had are people that I don't have to do that with. I can just say, here, let's go do this, and they take care of it and they get it done. Some of the best players I've had as a coach are the players that do things on their own without being told, that put in the extra time even when nobody's looking. Those are the best players. They understand the game. They understand. They have knowledge. They have wisdom of the game. They get what's going on around them, and I don't have to tell them. Some kids I've coached, and you tell them to do the same thing over and over and over. It's like, seriously, how many times do I have to tell you this? Well, they're maybe being a little bit of sluggard. They're not taking ownership of their role on the team or of their position on the team. Ants aren't like that. They do their part. God says to become part of the University of Ant. You know, but too many of us, seriously, are part of, you know, the University of Sluggard in so many ways. I know I get this way in certain areas of my life. I have areas of my life that I kind of slack off on. In a church like Westview, though, you guys aren't like that at all. Nobody has any issues like that. But there may be little pockets in your lives, too, that you have to brush up on or maybe take ownership of or maybe become more ant-like in those areas. In Proverbs 6, 9 through 11, it says, How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? You know, it's funny how we become relaxed in certain areas of our lives. It's like, how do you gain 50 pounds? One M&M at a time. That's how you do it. I mean, or how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. It's kind of the same thing. And it's kind of that way in certain areas of our lives. It's just a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. Before you know it, we're way off track, or we've just let that whatever in our life get so far behind that we just give up on it. You know, it says in here that poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. And basically it's just saying that a little step here or a little relaxation here, a little relaxation as a parent, you know, maybe you let something slide this time and then you let it slide again and then it's a little bigger step and before you know it, your kid's off the rails, right? You can't relax as a parent, right? Right, kids? Right, kids? Can't relax as a parent. Yeah. Once in a while you have to, I don't know, get their attention. Let's just say that. Just get their attention. Brian sometimes, you know, he's almost 13. If you can believe this is only a 12-year-old boy up here, by the way. He looks like a half-grown man, man-child. We call him Diesel at the house, but mostly because he's powerful, but he's not very fast. But that's okay. You've got other good things. You got other good things. You know, once in a while as a teenager, they get a little snippy, right? You know, they'll snip back at his mom once in a while, and I'll say, hey, wait a minute, you're talking to my wife there. That's my wife. And I got to live with her a lot longer than I got to live with you. Don't be talking to her that way. But if you let little things like that go, the little rebellious things, just, or you may think it's cute once or twice, it can pile up pretty quick and it can get out of hand pretty quick. You know, when you think of a sluggard or somebody, you remember back in the day, maybe in high school, well, it was a long time ago for me, you know, you'd stand in the hallway and you'd actually talk to people. I know it's different today. Shana said it's pretty quiet at the high school. They're all doing this. I don't, you probably see that too. But we used to stand in the hallway, and, you know, you'd lean up against the wall, put your foot up, and just hang out there with your, you know, hand in your pocket. That's what I think of as a sluggard. You know, he's just kind of standing there, not doing anything, waiting for the world to come to him, and just not doing what he's supposed to be doing. May have math to turn in, but we're not doing that. We're just too lazy to do that. We're, you know, that's what I think of. You know, maybe holding a Diet Pepsi in your hand or something, just hanging out, chilling, not doing anything. That's what I think of when I picture a sluggard. It's kind of a, also, being a sluggard, sometimes you have to deceive yourself or you have to be deceiving in a way, right? You have to tell yourself, I can do that. It's no problem. You kind of deceive yourself into sluggardville. You end up talking yourself out of things, right? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Talk yourself, I don't really need to prepare for this message. I've got it. You know, if I walked up here and didn't have anything prepared, what would you guys think, right? Royce would be glad you got to go home and go eat early. That's what he told me. He said, how long is this message? Because I'm hungry today. I said, well, Royce, we're going to go over it twice now. I couldn't resist, Royce. Sometimes we have to lie to ourselves to not do the things we're supposed to be doing. You ever had an injury like you had a cast on your arm and you take that cast off after 6 or 8 weeks and that arm's smaller than the other one, right? Or like a couple years ago, I had a total knee replacement on my left knee. And when the doctors and therapists and stuff have figured out that if you don't use it, you lose it, right? If you don't start working it again. So the same day after you have knee replacement surgery, which is a pretty big surgery, they get you up and they start walking you that day. And they're like, well, you can't hurt it. It's just metal and plastic now. Well, it still hurts. It hurts me. It may not hurt the knee. But they understand that if you don't get up and start moving right away, it's going to be a lot worse than if you just lay there. They understand that if you don't do some therapy even up to the surgery to strengthen that before the surgery, they know afterwards it's going to be a lot bigger task to get that leg back into shape. And it takes a long time. It's still not perfect. But, you know, Shana even said, you know, one calf looks smaller than the other just from not using it like it should be used. It's amazing. If we give up something in our lives or if we quit doing something, we lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. You know, those muscles get worn out or lose strength quickly. Takes forever, seems, to build strength, but it goes quickly if you use it. The Bible says if you're a sluggard in certain areas, literally a hedge of thorns will be built up around you. In Proverbs 15:19, it says, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So if I choose to go to be an ant or maybe a teacher, maybe, you know, be a diligent teacher, if I choose to do that, if I'm making the right decisions, if I'm being discernful, if I'm being diligent and I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do, my way will, my, it will be plain to me. It'll be open. It'll be open. I can do things I want to do when I want to do them. That means that anything that if you don't believe, if you don't get into, if you do, if you're not diligent in certain areas, they're just going to kind of creep up on you. You may be okay for a while, right? Like, maybe if you don't lift weights for a day, it'd probably be okay, right? But then if you go a month, if you go 2 months, you start seeing the results of that, or the lack of results of it, right? Your the hedge is going to be, hedge of thorns is going to be built up. In Proverbs 26:15, it says, "The slothful and hideth his hands in his bosom, and it giveth him to bring it again to his mouth." That's the person who's leaning up against the wall, hands in the pocket, lazy, wanting to be spoon-fed, you know, feed me, please. You know, if it's interesting, we have this culture that kind of says, just give it to me. I'm just going to show up, and I'm just going to want it, I want it to be given to me. This culture that I want to be spoon-fed everything. We don't want to take ownership of anything. It's hard to get past that sometimes. Information so readily available. You know, I can take this phone out, and I can, you know, you, oh man, I messed up my whole phone. It was on in my pocket. Was I taking pictures of you guys or anything? But I can get on this phone. Used to have to like buy a whole encyclopedia, right? A library. Well, I got it all right here. Anytime I want, wherever I want. It's so easily find, so easily able to find. You know, used to, if you had to research stuff, you have to go to the library, you know, the Dewey Decimal System. You have to find out information. You have to kind of work for it, right? Kind of have to find out some information. But you also got to be careful with this thing, right? Because not all the information on there is true or accurate. I know it's, that's probably a big thing to some of you. You didn't realize that, right? Not everything on the internet is true. Sorry, burst your bubble there a little bit. Not everything is easily found, and sometimes it's too easily found that we don't even have to discern it, right? Now, the scripture tells us that if you're physically able to work, you should work. Now, I'm not saying if you're retired or something like that, you're still working. You still got a job to do. You got, you know, church things to do. You got people to help. You got things to do. The Bible says that if you're able to work and you don't, that you shouldn't eat. I must be working really well. I eat a lot. I must work a lot. The Bible's all, basically, we've set up a system in our country that rewards mediocrity, you know. We celebrate mediocrity. You know, we celebrate little things that like they're big things. And, you know, and that's okay to a certain extent, but it creates, it gets our expectations from here down to here. You know, it's like in our house, we expect our kids to have all A's. Do they have all A's? No, not all the time. But we expect it. You know, we don't expect just a passing grade. We expect it to be high. We raise the standard in our house. And we get after them a little bit. It's like, geez, Dad, that's just a B. I know, but you can get an A. You can do it. If you just take a little extra time or, you know, think a little bit, do a little extra work, you can do this. It's not that you can't do it. Because you got all these other grades that are A's, so you're doing it. You're showing me you can do it. Now, I understand there are situations where you can't. I mean, sometimes it's people, some people just aren't good in school, and that's okay. But you're still working hard. You're still trying. It's not that you're not trying. If you're not trying and you get bad grades, it's different than if you're trying hard and working hard. I guarantee you there's not a teacher alive that would fail you if you're coming in and working hard and doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're there on time. You're working the best you can. There's not a teacher in the world that would fail you. Guaranteed. Because they know how hard you're working, how hard you're trying. That's the difference, is in this society, we don't want to work anymore. The ones that do work are the ones that get ahead. They do good things, you know. In the 60s, it was kind of, to me, it kind of started maybe back then in the 60s. Peace, love, rock and roll, sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't born until 71. But basically, it was a collection of sluggards, from what I could tell. And then they started deceiving themselves that they don't need to do things. They don't have to do this. Man, that's just the way I am, right? It's just the way I am. How many people do you know that just complain and look for ways to get out of work and instead of just doing the job they've been given? There's a lot out there, isn't there? They're always complaining about something. They have GoFundMe pages. Now, granted, there's some real need for GoFundMe. Don't get me wrong, but there are some that maybe if you just got a job, you would need a GoFundMe page. Maybe if you just worked, you wouldn't need a GoFundMe page. We've made it so easy. It's like, here's $10. And you get everybody in here give $10. That's a pretty good deal, right? I didn't have to do much for it. Or the guys that do the, where they do the email phishing and those kind of things, the cyber criminals. You know, if they just worked that hard at a regular job, they'd be probably millionaires. But they probably get some joy out of swindling people and things like that. But God is a working God. He worked in His creation. You know, I'm not saying you have to be a workaholic, work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'm not saying God didn't do that. He worked 6 days and rested one. That's a good pattern to follow. You know, I don't have to go to my job on Saturday, but Saturday we do things around the house. We mow the lawn. We get the groceries. We do the laundry. She does the laundry. I learned a long time ago I'm not allowed to touch the laundry. But that may have been by design. You screw a couple things up, you don't have to do laundry anymore. I mean, it's as simple as that. I dry things that shouldn't be. My philosophy is, you throw it all in. You don't need to separate it. Throw it all in, wash it, throw it all in the dryer, fold it, put it away. If that piece of clothing can't take that, you shouldn't own it. It's like dishes that aren't dishwasher safe. We shouldn't own them. And I've proven that some dishes are not dishwasher safe. And we no longer own them. Some of them are a little deceitful, though. They'll last in the dishwasher a long time before you have to throw them away. God is a working God. But when you work and when you do something, don't you have a sense of accomplishment when you're done? It's like simple things like mowing the lawn. Man, I really like when my lawn looks nice. When I'm done, it's all trimmed up and I got the blower out and got rid of all the extra grass. It's a sense of accomplishment. That's a small thing. Maybe you put a $1 billion deal together. That's a big thing. Maybe, you harvested the wheat or whatever. It's a sense of accomplishment, right? Work can make you feel good if you get something done with it. It was meant that way, to give you a sense of accomplishment. You know, even putting the kid down to sleep. I got him to sleep. Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's what that's God created that in you. He created you to work and create some sense of accomplishment and things that kind of gives you confidence then. If you get through some work and you've done something well, you feel good about yourself. You maybe have a little extra hit, little jump in your step. You know, you feel good about what you've done. You've accomplished what you set out to do. Some things are big things, some things are small things, but that creates confidence in you when you get things done. I know when I'm at work, when I've closed a big deal and got it done, it feels good. It feels really good to get that done. But, you know, we all have areas of our lives where we struggle in it, and I'm no different than you. You talk about excuses, God's kind of funny. I mean, he understands people. He understands we have a sense of humor. He understands that we get a kick out of it, and he does some stuff in the Bible that is kind of funny, actually. In Proverbs 26:13, it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way and a lion in the streets." Wow. That's the excuse this guy's coming up with not going to work. There's a lion in the streets. That's kind of funny. Well, we don't have lions in our streets. What's keeping you from going to work? We all have excuses. We make excuses. You know, it's like it's too cold out to go to church. We have heat. It's too hot out to go to church. We have air conditioning too. You all help pay for it, and we thank you. Because it's great to have, isn't it? Can you imagine if we didn't have heat or if we didn't have air conditioning, the amount of excuses that would be for people not to come would be even more because it's too hot or too cold or it's raining or something. Or, you know, I'm just too tired today. There have been times where I haven't wanted to go to church. I know, it's hard to believe. Yeah, I'm perfect. But, you know, every time I felt like that and then I went ahead and went to church, I've gotten more out of it than staying at home. It's like, oh, that's why I should be here. You know, I've learned that over the years that when I start feeling that way about going to church, that's probably the most, that's the best time for me to go to church is because God's got something for me. Today we make excuses for our kids too. And, we've created little sluggards out of them at times too by creating, excuses for them. Well, little Johnny just couldn't turn that assignment in. Why? Everybody else did. Do you have extra credit that they can do to get their grade up? I've been living with the teacher for 30 years. This comes, you know, they haven't done anything the whole 9 weeks. Nothing. Nothing. 26%. Hey, you got some extra assignments I can do to turn in, get my grade up? I did my job, Jack. You didn't do your job. But then the parents help them. I mean, it's gotten worse over the years. It's gotten worse over the years where the parents get involved and they start, and instead of letting little Johnny suffer the consequences of little Johnny's actions, we make excuses for him. And they learn that, hey, maybe I can slack off and just get by and do what I can do. It's just amazing to me that, you know, we have all these connections, PowerSchool and Canvas, and it's out there. I mean, did you not look at your grade till today? I mean, I can look at Brian's grades right now. I can pull him up on my phone right now, see what he's doing. I can tell. Now, in the old days, back when I went to school, you got a grade card, or at high school, you got midterm grades, and that's where you were at midterm, and then you got your final grade. So it wasn't as readily available. So you had to kind of stay on it a little more. You had to be in communication a little more. But, you know, today, there's no excuse for that. No excuse. Just being a little sluggard is all you are. Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest." You know, he makes up excuses for not doing something, but then he wants you to help him. That's hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? Especially when it comes to school, when it comes to, everybody just get a C. No, I worked my tail off. I got an A. We'll just average everybody together. Whew. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 32. "I went by the field of the slothful man and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding." And it's, you know, when you go by somebody's place, you can kind of tell how they've been keeping stuff up, right? You can kind of tell by the way they take care of their cars, by the way they take care of their kids, by the way they take care of their assets that God's blessed them with. What university they're going to, probably. Now, my house isn't perfect. I've got things that need to be repaired and those kind of things, but it's kept up. I mean, we keep up on it and keep those things up. You can kind of tell that there are maybe areas of people's lives that they struggle in. "I went by the field of a slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and weeds, had covered the face thereof, and stone wall thereof was broken. Then I saw and considered it well and had discernment that I looked upon it and received instruction." So you can learn what not to do by studying people that do things not maybe the correct way. I had a brother growing up. He was a little bit of a challenge, to say the least. But I learned what not to do by seeing what he did. You know, the rules didn't really apply to him at times. He's changed now. Don't get me wrong. He's way better than he used to be. Way better. But he would get in trouble. He would do the stupidest things. And I'm like, what are you doing? But it was for that moment. You know, he was having fun for that moment. And it didn't matter what the consequences were. It was fun at the time. But then you had to go to jail. Or something. I mean, yeah, but we had a good time. Well, I learned not to do a lot of things by watching what he did. And that's what a wise person will do. You'll learn what not to do by watching other people. You'll learn what not to do in a marriage by watching a marriage that is struggling. You'll learn what not to do as a parent by watching how other people parent. You can learn things from those things. We can have excuses all day long for why things are the way they are. Why is this church not filled up? Why, you know, it's the best church in the county. That's what I think. That's why I go here. That's what God told me to come here. And why is it not that way? You know, why is it money? Do we not have enough money? That money doesn't matter. You know, what are you doing to help bring people in? What are you doing as a church body to do that, to bring people to this church? Well, you know, Pastor Tim might say something wrong. Yeah, he might. I don't know. But you got to trust the man that God's put in charge. That's what God put him here for a reason. And I think he's doing great. You know, take some responsibility and do your work just like we all have to do. You know, we talk about areas in our life that we struggle with. The church, you know, what are you doing with the only thing Jesus gave his life for? What are you doing for the church? Are you willing to work in the church? Are you willing to help out? Are you willing to be a server? Are you willing to clean? Are you willing to do something like that? Or are you just willing to come and sit and listen to the message? You know, what are you doing with your church attendance? You know, I'm not here every week. I understand that. I'm not saying, I'm just saying regular attendance. I get that. You can't be here every Sunday or every Wednesday. Sometimes things, you do have to do things. I get that. I'm not saying that at all. But what are you doing for God's church? Because one day God's gonna look you and me in the face and say, what'd you do for my church? What'd you do for my church? The church as a whole. You know, here's another thing that we maybe slide on. Dating, right? What are you doing in your dating for those of you that are in the market, on the market? I'm not on the market. Thank God. Are you compromising in certain ways? Are you doing things God's way? On the other side of that, what are you doing in your marriage? You know, what are you doing to build up your marriage, build up your spouse? You know, what you use to get her is what you'll use to keep her. You know, what are you doing? Are you doing your part in the relationship? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to be doing? Or are you just taking some things for granted? I've been there. I do that. I get it. I'm not saying that we don't have issues in our marriage at times. It's mostly because of her. And because I've got the mic right now. It's going to be a long Sunday. No. But what are you doing? You know, are you just trying to get by and stay married for the kids? Because the kids see that. You know, what are you doing to build your marriage up? I think it's cool when my kids are like, ooh, Dad, don't kiss her. They need to know that we love each other. They need to know that. Kind of grosses them out sometimes. Entertainment choices. What are you doing with your entertainment choices? We have so many entertainment choices today. Again, on your phones, wherever, you can pull up TV, you can pull up Netflix, you can pull up Apple TV, you can pull up Paramount, you can pull up anything. What choices are you making? What are you watching? What are you compromising in? Hold yourself accountable. There are some good shows out there, good movies. And what are you doing in those areas? What are you doing? Here's another area. What are you doing with friends? Who are you choosing as your friends? Are they the right they the right T, the right person that's tender, a good person. H, they're honest, they're holy. E, are they encouraging you? And Y, are they yielded to God? You know, how are your friends? Because, you know, as Forrest Gump said, stupid is the stupid does. I mean, if you hang out with people like that compromise all the time, it's going to rub off on you. You ever notice when you hang out with people that complain all the time, you start complaining too? Or if you hang out with people that are pretty happy all the time and look for positive things, you kind of become more like that, right? So choose the right day in your friends. Sometimes it's just two or three people too. I mean, your group of friends, as you get older, I've told my kids this for years, you know, when you're in grade school, everybody's, you know, get along with everybody. And as they grow up, middle school and high school, friends start falling off, right? Because they choose different paths. They choose different things to do. And it's hard sometimes when friends fall off, but that's probably addition by subtraction sometimes. Because, you know, there's only a handful of friends that, as an adult that I have, I know I can call any time, bar none, and they'll be here. Just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And lastly, what are you doing with Jesus? What are you doing with that son that died for you and for me so that we can miss hell, we could have life more abundantly? What decision have you made with that? Because really, that's the most important decision. That takes you down the right, that's the right step to take you down the right path in all these areas. What are you doing with that? You know, Paul preached to a guy that wanted him to come back at a more convenient time to hear the gospel, right? Wanted to have him come back and at a more convenient time. Well, there's no time like the present. You know, and this guy missed out on it because he was too busy. There's no time like the present to get your life right with Christ, to get your life right and start being what God's called you to be. And then, you know, you have the intellectual people that always have questions. Always have questions about God's Word, always have questions about the Bible. Well, the Bible's been around for thousands of years, and it's held up. It's still here. It's still holding up. The truth is still the truth, no matter what. So you can accept it. Sometimes in math, you know, you got to just accept a rule, right? It's kind of that way with the Bible sometimes. You just got to accept it. You don't have to question it. In math, it's like, okay, two negatives make a positive. Well, why? It's just the way it is, okay? It's just the way it is. Jesus is your Savior. That's just the way it is. You've got to have the faith. Ask God for faith to accept it. But that's just the way it is. So what are you doing? What's your decision? Are you going to go to the University of Ant? Or are you going to go to the University of Sluggard? It's your decision. It's your choice each and every day in every area of your life. You're not going to be perfect at it. We're not expecting you to be. Nobody is. But are you going to choose pestilence or diligence? The choice is up to you. Let's stand to your feet. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that, you know, we overlook some things in our lives and your grace is more abundant than ever. Lord, we just thank you that you continue to love us through all that, that you're there for us through all of that. And Lord, you'll help us discern and be wise and be diligent in the things in our life on a consistent basis. Lord, we honor you today. We just thank you. And we just praise you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.